Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold hosting ACATO, the Ancient Science of Sahaji, and it is Saturday, April 30th, 2016, 6:30 p.m. on the East Coast of America. Welcome to the show, everyone. It's a pleasure to have you here, and I'd like to give a very warm welcome to the leader of this very ancient teaching, and that is Sri Tadakji, the Mahaji, the 973rd Living Sresha Master. Hello, Sri Tadakji. How are you this evening?
I'm fine, Leslie. And how are you?
I'm doing quite well. Thanks very much. And for people, some people will be new listeners, and there'll be many people that have been here with many of the shows that we've been doing. We've been doing hundreds of shows. I don't know if we actually have done thousands of shows, but I'm sure we've done hundreds of shows over the years. And we have a great many archives as well for people to research if they're interested in listening to any of those shows. But for those who are new, we're going to talk about some of the basic foundations of this teaching, how it got started, what it's about, what the purpose is, and why someone would want to be part of this teaching. With that, Sri Tadakji, I will let you start any place that you want. If you'd like to talk a little bit about the background of ACATO or your background and how it came to be that you're on this path and became the leader of the teaching, wherever you'd like to start is fine with me. So the floor is yours.
Well, I'll do what I can to answer some of those questions. But you know me, I like to start out with the simple definition that we use in the logo is ACATO, the ancient science of Sahaji, which is very important because it is the most ancient science of the practice of the inner movement of soul, the essence of man, which is the light and sound current. Like we talk about the sound current, which is a high electrical pitch or ringing in the ear that people can actually experience and hear it and see it. They see it as light and they hear it as sound. So the sound current is a very ecstatic experience for people. And they experience it by listening within. And then once they attune to that sound current, they realize it's the movement of their inner self. It's like a spinning. That's where the word spin comes from the word spiral, to spin. And that spin makes a sound. So each one of us has our own individual sound. And we learn to move on that sound current. And that movement is what is known as Sahaji, which is soul or spirit travel, another term for it. So it's this movement on the inside. So we learn how to move in that essence as soul and then gain liberation, what we call the fifth plane, the fifth dimension. Sometimes it's called the Atmalok in the higher Sanskrit words. ACATO is also a higher Sanskrit word. We use those words because they have a higher vibration, a feeling. We always say that if your feelings are intact and you stretch out with your feelings and it's a part of your daily life, and some people are concerned about it, they have a tendency, especially in America, to introvert and try to shield off their feelings, whereas we try to say, as I said a minute ago, to stretch out or to let go with the feelings and to have an outflow in your life. And when you do that, then you get everything in return. So that's how you get things in one's life, is to give out and to not shield off and things of that nature. So we're really not into that sort of thing. The main and prime objective, though, is to gain spiritual liberation. And the first goal of ACATO, which is self-realization. That self-realization, aforesaid, comes on the fifth plane, the fifth dimension within one. So we learn about these dimensional levels, these vibrational levels within. So we talk about the lower planes and also the three goals that are above the lower planes. The first four planes are the physical plane, which we experience. We're talking to you this evening. You'll be reciprocating or by listening and what have you, the people that listen to the show. And they're presently experiencing the physical plane in their relative manner. So we know what the physical plane is in our daily life, workaday life, or whatever we do in our daily life. And we understand what the physical plane is in that realm, so to speak. And then we are talking about the second plane, which is the astral plane. A lot of people have heard about the astral plane, and sometimes they equate it with what is known as astral projection. We consider astral projection sort of a dangerous experience because it's sort of tearing away the astral body from the main essence of soul, as I was saying a minute ago. So we don't really recommend astral projection per se. So we talk about soul projection from the fifth plane, or to become aware of your essence as soul, and you travel in soul on the astral plane, just like we travel in soul, as soul, I should say, travel as soul on the physical plane. So in other words, we learn about working from the fifth plane into the lower regions, all right? So it's actually knowledge first, and then we experience it on the inside. Therefore, we do a daily contemplation, which Leslie will go into in a little bit. But I want to finish with explaining the four lower planes that we're teaching people to negotiate through to gain the first goal of self-realization. The third plane is the causal plane, and that's sometimes known as the déjà vu plane. Déjà vu not only includes past experiences, but also includes present and future experiences as well. So we have the past, present, and future timelines on the causal plane. So the causal plane is really the timeline plane. That's where time and space originates. And therefore, we start measuring things in the causal plane. That's the plane of the timeline, or the plane of the memory is mostly what people think about as the causal plane, albeit it includes the present and the future. All right, the fourth plane is the mental plane, and the mental plane is where all thought is based, and the thought is like the azure blue, the blue sky, where people are reflecting and thinking a lot in their daily life versus observing or dealing with the sentient senses of the physical being. And the sentient senses are the 10 senses. What we learn about in the mental plane is we are sentient, that we have 10 senses and not 5 senses. So the mental plane, we learn a lot of knowledge. We gain all the knowledge that's possible on that plane. And therefore, once we gain that knowledge, we move into the high level of the mental plane, which is the etheric plane, the unconscious or the subconscious. The psychologists will say that they're separate, but in reality, it's all one and the same. It's the dark region before one gains spiritual enlightenment, sort of like the dawn before the sun rises, you know. And so therefore, we have this experience in a dark region that they call the unconscious. So in Akacha, we become aware of the unconscious, somewhat like being conscious of the unconscious, which sounds like a Zen koan somewhat. All right, now, what we learn to do in those four lower planes, is to negotiate through them in spirit and then travel the narrow path, the middle path of Akacha, the way, the teaching, or science of the practice of Akacha. So therefore, at that point, maybe you'd like to take us through a contemplation and talk about the contemplation, the daily 30-minute exercise that we recommend. Please do. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yes, I'd love to. So the contemplation is a 30-minute spiritual exercise that we very strongly recommend that each member of Akacha do on a daily basis. And it looks very similar to meditating when someone's doing it, but there's actually a different dynamic at work on the inner levels, and this is why it's contemplation, because as you might have heard Sri Kaji mention before, meditation is really a spin-off from this contemplation, which is the source. But the purpose of doing contemplation is to keep ourselves in balance at all times and to bring us protection on a 24-hour continuum from the time that we finish the contemplation to the next time that we begin. So with contemplation, we're basically sitting in a quiet room with our eyes closed, in a quiet place, as quiet as it possibly can be. And as I always say, use your earplugs if you need to, if you're living in a city and it's hard to get that traffic noise out, then by all means use earplugs to make it as quiet as possible, because it's very, very important to block out extraneous noise if you can. And with a contemplation, we're going to sit comfortably in a chair. We can have our feet flat on the floor, or we can also be sitting tailor fashioned in yoga style, as you would. But we can sit comfortably is the most important part. And then we're going to close our eyes and take a couple of deep breaths. And what we're going to do here is put our attention on the third eye, or what's called the tizzertil. Or we can also use the highest of the chakras, which is the crown chakra, which is the soft spot on the head when the baby comes in, when the soul comes in as a baby, through that soft spot. And that is the highest of the chakras. And we're going to put our attention on either of these places and keep our eyes closed. And we're doing the attention in a gentle fashion. So we're not trying to force anything here. If you have thoughts coming in, just let them flow by. Don't worry about it. Don't try to forcibly throw them out. Just by the means of chanting you, which is the way that you begin a contemplation, it will automatically dispel any kind of negativity within or without. And that's why it's so important to chant a mantra of a very, very high vibration. Now, we use Hu because Hu also means a spark of God. It's the word that's used on the 10th plane of spiritual mastery. That's the word that can be heard on that plane. And it is completely positive. It's pure positive. So the vibrations from that will take out any kind of negativity that's in the arena, and also calm and balance someone when they're chanting the word here. So during the contemplation, you might have different experiences. Once you close your eyes, you're immediately in sahaji, which is having out-of-body travel. You might have also a very vivid sahaji experience where you're out looking at things, traveling within the inner planes. Perhaps you're attending a satsang class on the inner. There are many different experiences that you can have. But the word Hu is a powerful protector, so you don't have to worry about getting into any kind of negative situation. It won't happen. So we're going to chant the word Hu during contemplation for a few moments. You can do it for as much as you like, or you can just do it for a few moments, and then afterward you're going to put your attention, keep your attention again, and on the tizzertil or the crown chakra. And you might hear different sounds. Each plane has a different sound. You might just hear a very high electrical pitch, which is the sound of Sarosha. And that's the spirit that flows from the Godhead, Sarosha. So it can be seen as light and heard as sound. And you might see different lights. You might see a white light, a yellow light. You might see the blue light, which is the inner light of the Mahaji. And you can actually see that anytime. Sometimes people will see that on the outside as well as the inside. You might see a blue star. That's a blue star of the Master. So you know that he's standing by you, and he's there for guidance and protection and help should you need it. So during the contemplation, we do that for 30 minutes, and it's important to do it 30 minutes because that stretches for a 24-hour period of protection and balance. So I'm going to take everyone through a very brief contemplation. It's called a Hu chant. You can follow along or you can just listen, but I just want everyone to have the feeling of it, to hear what the Hu sounds like. And so we can take a deep breath or two to relax, close our eyes, feet flat on the floor or in tailor position. And then we just start chanting the words you, and it sounds like this. You. You. Baraka Bashad, which means may the blessings be. Srikadashi, would you like me to continue, or would you like to add anything to what I've said about the contemplation?
Yes, I can add some things. Contemplation, as Leslie mentioned, is very important. And it's really the only practice we recommend in ACTA. It's not mandatory, but it's a highly recommended practice, because that's the where we learn how to travel in Sahaji on the inner planes. So it makes sense that since we are the ancient science of Sahaji, we would be asking the members to go within to do that. And that 30 minutes has been measured to give 24 hours of harmonic vibrations to people that it seemingly is difficult in those lower worlds I had mentioned. So that means that when we do the contemplation, we sort of plug into the universe, if you will, to get, for instance, people have these phones, these smartphones that they have to charge up every day. So it's similar to that. So it's sort of like, for the want of a better analogy for the moment, is that we go within to get a daily amount of energy, a stamina, to get through the lower planes. The lower planes are the planes of that I mentioned before, but they're polarities. They have the positive and negative polarities in the lower world. So there's these vibrations that are mostly on the negative side now because we're in the Iron Age. That's why people are experiencing a lot of trauma and what have you, because we're in the most negative cycle of what is known as a cosmic day. You have the Golden Age, the Silver Age, Copper, and Iron Ages. So we're in the Iron Age, and that's why it's seemingly rather difficult to get through the daily life. And therefore, the contemplation is a very premier, I'll say, practice to allow one to have some harmony in their life. Now, the irony of that is that ACTA is not for everyone. It's not for 100% of the population. It's just for that ready soul, that 1 out of 100, the 1% of the population, that can really get the wisdom of what we're speaking here. And people say, well, why is that the case? And the reason for that is ACTA wasn't supposed to be the native teaching. It was only native for the special souls that came into this world to find their way back to the Godhead. So it's not really a teaching for everyone. It's really a secret teaching made outer, on the outer planes. So most of the time, it's not even public. Presently, we're public, we're able to teach, and we're fortunate from that standpoint. Therefore, this idea of not for everybody is simply that the superstructure of the Supreme Deity did not set it up for that particular practice to be for everyone. It was just for the individual that has a karma at a fulcrum point to now change it into Dharma. So once one steps onto the path of ACTAs, remember, now we have to say right here that we're not pitchmen, we're not selling anything. Everything is free. The books are free. Seminars are free. We don't sell anything. So right away, people can be relieved that, oh, it sounds like he's a salesman, he's trying to pitch the teaching and that sort of thing. We don't do that at all. So now people can allay their fears about, oh, how much type thing. You don't have to ask that. Because our message is pure in terms of the motivation of finding that ready soul so they can have spiritual liberation and the three goals that we were talking about in reference to self-realization, God-realization, and spiritual mastery on the 5th, 8th, and 10th plane, respectively. Therefore, we're giving a pure message here to allow that ready soul that someone can hear the voice of the living spiritual master and experience the high vibrations that we're talking about as the essence of soul in the sound current. I mean, that's really the most important part, because a lot of people have experienced the sound current. They may even have had some sahaji experiences as children, but then their parents will put it down, or neighbors, or what have you, will condemn their practice. So the child really thwarts themselves. They dampen their light, so to speak, to actually make their way in a certain area. And for instance, since we're in this Iron Age, this negative time, it's very difficult to talk about spiritual experiences to people that are not kindred or not supportive. And people can understand that. People that are on the call tonight can probably relate to that quite extensively of trying to discuss dreams or esoteric things in the marketplace. And then people are somewhat brutal with that about it, the belligerency of people. And nowadays there's a lot of new age teachings and there's a little more sympathetic behavior with it, but it's still talked about or pointing fingers at them being strange or odd or that sort of thing. And therefore it can be difficult for that ready soul, but once they get to the path of Akata, they realize there are kindred spirits that are having these spiritual experiences, which are really true, and the teaching is the truest teaching, albeit, as I said, it's not really a majority teaching. So that's why it can be very difficult. At the same time, that means that in the area, Earth area, there are 7.5 billion people, but that means there's 75 million ready souls, but we have about 3,000 on the path presently. And our target is to get the ready souls onto this path, but I'm not necessarily that ambitious to get all 75 million, because that would take many, many years to do that. At the same time, those are the ready souls. The other ones are passing through, waving and saying, going into the next incarnation, and are not really going to make it onto the path. So even the people that will hear this particular talk tonight and are not ready souls will at that point in time be aware and can understand at the purport of the living Sroshi master of the time, but then they'll go away and forget. Their memories are such that there's a frivolous way about people. Their attention levels are poor. That's why they have the ADD and autism and things of that nature, because their attention levels aren't focused. And therefore, when we teach the contemplation will teach one to learn about their inherent focus they've always had but have lost through many incarnations. So we do talk about karma and reincarnation, but we're not stuck there. We're not stuck in being forced into karma and forced into being reincarnated. We learn to get control of incarnations and stop the negative forces, the calendar engine, who is the overlord of the lower planes, who forces people back into incarnations, because he's sort of like the king of the dead business, you know? And then they make people mm-hmm. come back to the physical plane because they don't have certain mantras to be able to get past them, like a golden key. That's why we talk about the Hue chant. When you have the Hue chant, that's like the golden key to unlock and get past, if you will. It's a power mantra that can get past all the negative forces on the inner planes. And that Hue chant is very critical for people to understand. The interesting part is hidden in the word human, H-U-M-A-N, and the word Hue really means spirit. So you can see that the true word is really spirit man, but it goes a hidden, and people don't really know what that means in terms of what the term human means, unless you come to the path of Akata, and then we explain that to you. So the Hue is a universal mantra, and that energy is 12th plane power that is a very high harmonic energy, much higher than the mantra Om, which comes off the mental plane or the fourth plane. You can see there's eight-dimensional powers, exponential powers, higher than the mantra Om. So we recommend doing the hue in the daily practice of the contemplation. We recommend doing the hue chant until one steps onto the path, and then they get their own particular individual mantras. Each one has an individual mantra that they carry through each one of the planes. Each plane has an initiation level with that that we give out to the members over a period of time. So is there any, you'd like to add anything at this point?
Well, I want to mention my experience with the contemplation, because I've not missed any time doing that. So to me, it's very, very important to be disciplined to do the contemplation on a daily basis, because what happens, sometimes chillas get on the path and they get lackadaisical, forgetting, people get busy. I understand we all have busy lives, but sometimes they miss doing those contemplations. And what they don't realize is that they're leaving an opening for the negative energy to come in and attack them. And then their attention will start drifting. So it won't be on spirit like it is on a normal basis from doing the contemplations. And sometimes members do go wayward when they start missing the contemplations on a very steady basis. So the best thing to do is really not to miss one at all, and to make it a priority. As Sukhadev, she said earlier, it's not a mandate, but we can only stress how important it is, because that's really what this path is about, is about inner experience, because that's what's going to propel our spiritual unfoldment and bring us to those goals that we're seeking to reach: self-realization, God-realization, and spiritual mastery. So even when we become spiritual masters, we continue our contemplations, because we're continuing to unfold at all moments. So it's a very, very important aspect of the teaching, and I just wanted to reiterate that. And I know that many of you are very disciplined with it, but I don't think it's always realized how important it is not to miss. So anyway, I just wanted to mention
I would add there is that when people, the paradox of it is that people don't realize that they're really, how powerful they are, until they get to the ninth region and realize that they're really the creator. So they don't really consider, Leslie, how important that 30 minutes is each day. It's really critical mass for people to go within, firstly, to go, it's within to go without instead of without to go within, which is kind of a paradox in itself. So I'm glad that you stressed that, and I really appreciate that. So we're down to about the last minute or two, I think.
Well, yeah, we've got a little less than 2 minutes left. I do want to say, if you're interested in finding out more, please go to the website, akita.com, and look up all the information. We have free books that can be downloaded. We have audios that you can listen to of Sri Kaya. And also, if you have been listening and feel like you're ready to take a step for membership, by all means, it's free, as Sri Kaya G had said earlier. So please feel free to fill out an application so that we can accept you into the membership. And with that, I'd like to say that we probably just have about a minute left. I want to thank everyone for being here with us this evening. It's a great pleasure for us to be able to do this every week, and thoroughly enjoy it, and we're very appreciative of all those who come and listen to the show. And Sri Kadachi, I think we probably have about 45 seconds left, and with that, I'd like to hand this over to you so that you can say farewell for the evening, if you would.
Since you can't see me physically, what the master does in gatherings, he'll raise his right hand to give a fairly well, and raise the right hand in the may the blessings be, I am always with you, Baraka Bashad.